We're switching to the third part, the preface to the book of Zohar, item 30. Preface to the book of Zohar, item 30. Right. Preface to the Book of Zohar, item 31. The Zohar's description of the Kelim, Chochmah, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut in Atzilut, as growing or lessening or diminishing through the acts of people, we also found in the Zohar, Israel give power and strength to the Creator, meaning that in godliness in itself, it is not literally so. Because in godliness there can be no changes. As it is written, I, the Lord, change not. But since the thought of creation was to delight His creatures, meaning with respect to the creatures, all these changes are, and the revelations and the corrections, so from this we learn that we have a will to bestow, the Creator has a will to bestow, and since we find in this world that the giver grows in his contentment when those who receive from him increase and he wants more receivers, with that respect we say that the mochin, that the light increases in Atzilut, when the lower ones receive the abundance in Atzilut. Or that they give it sustenance. And vice versa, when the lower ones are not worthy of receiving his abundance, the mochin seem to lessen, meaning there is no one to receive from them. So with respect to the lower ones, it seems that the abundance, the shefa, changes, that the Creator changes with respect to them. You can compare it to a candle. Whether you light 1,000 candles from it or light nothing from it, you will find no change in it whatsoever. Or like Adam HaRishon, whether thousands of children would come out from him like us, or if he did not give birth to anyone, that would affect Adam HaRishon in no way. That would not affect Adam HaRishon in any way. It would not induce any change in him. So is the Olam Atzilut in itself. There are no changes in it whatsoever. Whether the lower ones receives his great abundance abundantly, or if they do not receive anything. And all the above Gadlut, greatness, lies only on the lower ones. So that's the nature of the spiritual. It is in a state of, it is in a permanent state, and with respect to the receivers, there are changes, and according to the changes, so are the changes in the receivers, so are the changes in the giver. So they ascribe the changes to the giver, although the giver does not change, not in itself and not toward them. 33. However, accordingly, why did the authors of the Zohar need to describe all these changes in Olam Atzilut itself, the world of Atzilut itself? They should have said specifically, only with the ones that receive in Bia are the changes, and not write so much about Atzilut, so that we would have to then excuse them, then give answers to. So why do we ascribe to the Creator to the changes in Him? Why did he ascribe to the system in him, to his systems, things that really happen here inside us? Indeed, there is a great secret in it. Why they describe things this way? That they relate the changes to the upper system and to the Creator Himself. This is the meaning of, and I will be like in the hands, the earth is in the hands of the prophets. Because indeed there is a godly will in that, that these images that appear only in the souls of the receivers will appear to the souls as he himself, as if he himself participates in them, in order to greatly increase the attainment of the souls. The fact that the souls do see as if the Creator changes gives them an increment in their elation. It's like a father who shows his darling child a face of sorrow or a face of joy. Although in him there is no sorrow or joy, but he does that only to manipulate his darling son and enhance his understanding in order to play with him. But only after he grows and knows and will know that everything his father did, there was no reality in it. It was only to play with him. But in between it helped him grow. So it is before us. So is the matter before us. Although all these changes in images begin only by the impression on the souls and end in them, still it seems as if it is a godly will, as if they seem in him. And one does that in order to enhance and magnify the attainment of the souls to the maximum amount, which is in the thought of creation to delight his creatures. Well, it's some kind of an explanation, human explanation, that we don't really know how to ascribe it to the upper attainments. On the one hand, one knows that everything comes from the Creator, and all the changes are inside a person, and although everything comes from above, they're in complete rest. But the impression of the kelim, not the awareness of the person himself who can say, but the impression of the kelim themselves, meaning the sensations, the emotions, come from the light. As it says, the beast feels. And there's nothing you can do according to the measure of the sensation. The kelim expand. The sensations, the relationship expand between the kli and the light that is felt in it, as if it changes by itself. Now, the question is, how does the Creator, who is in complete rest, and I, the Lord, change not, how does he give the kli a sensation that it does change, and it's not that the kli changes, that it does operate, and it's not that it's a result of changes in the action in the kli? The thing is that all our senses are built like a mirror. What we feel and see within us, we ascribe to changes on the outside, because between us and the upper light, there is a masach, a screen. Just like in our senses, there's a membrane, an eardrum, where I don't know what happens inside, and actually nothing happens, perhaps. Or maybe it does happen. But the changes are in me. And this is why I perceive them as happening outside the kli. Now, outside our kelim, There is Ein Sof, infinite light. You can imagine 1,000 pictures. Past, present, and future, all here. Nothing is gone. But with respect to us, it is felt as some kind of one, as just one little frame, one little picture of a present. Because that's how our Kelim, my Rishimot, now that they rise from me, they operate on my general will to receive, which depicts that picture to me. Out of what? Out of being pressured from without constantly. And I think that that pressure from the outside is not fixed, but that there are 613 pressures in it corresponding to my 613 desires. While on the outside there's only simple light without any changes, but I think that it changes in all the 600 changes on my 613 desires. And then it brings me the picture of the world that changes. So, do not be surprised at that, because such as that you find in our corporal attainment too. For example, our sense of sight. Yes, we see a big, huge world before us and all its wondrous filling. But in fact, we see it only inside our interior. Meaning in our it's the visual cortex, it's the back of the brain. There is like a photographic machine there that depicts everything that we see and nothing outside us. And all this the creator made all that for us like a refined mirror that turns upside down everything that we see there. So that we see it outside our brain, in front of our face. However, what we see outside us is not real, but we still see it in our brain. Yet, how grateful should we be to His providence for having made that refined mirror in our brain to see ourselves as if it is happening outside, enabling us to see and to attain everything outside us. I relate all these things to something, a polished mirror. All these things that happen in me, I think that they happen, I ascribe them to things that happen outside me. Why? How does that help me? It helps because if I invert them to be in order to bestow, then I really do go outside me. In a minute, we'll work on it. Because by that, He placed in us the power to learn everything with knowledge and clear attainment, to measure everything from within and from without, etc. Had it not been for that, most of our attainment would have been absent. In other words, without this imagination that what happens inside me, I think it happens outside me. So without this fiction, we would not have been able to measure the gap between what happens inside us and what happens inside us. When I think it happens outside me. So that gap that I measure, that's what's important to me. Again, I feel a picture. That picture, I feel that it is happening outside me. Afterwards, I research myself and check that this picture is not outside me. It's inside me. And I begin to measure the gap between what I see outside, what I feel, the picture that I feel outside me, and how it really happens inside me. That gap that I measure and examine gives me the knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And even though all these changes happen inside us, inside the souls that receive, still they see everything in the giver himself, because only in this manner do they acquire all the knowledge from the about the giver, who is, what is, and all the pleasantness in the thought of creation, how much and what he wanted to give them and who gives them. If I were not in my imagining that it is the Creator who comes and gives me, I would not have ascribed these things to him. I wouldn't have thought of him as existing, as being, as giving. So out of this imagination, this gap between what I am inside, correcting myself to feel him, and what I think comes from him, that gap helps me understand my nature compared to his nature. Meaning, this imagination gives me a possibility to perceive in the simple light that is outside me. It's not working out, huh? I need a few more sentences. We have to understand why that mistake, that we imagine things as if they're on the outside, why is it important to us? In this imagination, that what happens in me, when I ascribe it to the Creator that is on the outside, who is on the outside, in this fiction, I build my attitude to him. Otherwise, I would not be able to perceive anything of him. That fiction is, well, it's a false picture, but the changes are in me. But when I ascribe them, when I attribute them to him, and then I build on those changes in me a desire to bestow, then I slowly build in me a more and more and more correct image of him until I come to the simple light. The giver of the good to the good and to the evil without any change in eternal love. Bit by bit I come closer to that degree. How does it happen? I rise in the degree of the worlds. What are the degrees of the worlds? The degrees of the worlds are when I ascribe to the Creator the attributes that are actually in me, my corrected attributes are ascribed to him. When I am now in a certain state, and I want that state to send him in order to bestow, to send it to him in order to bestow, so by imagining that there's communication between us, a contact, and that he changes according to my changes, then I begin to imagine his form according to my attributes. And thus, I build the Creator. Otherwise, I would not have been able to build him, to see in him, to feel in him, to discern anything about him. Never. So the person builds his own creator. Every degree that I attain, before I attain it, it is a little higher than me. It is called my creator, my God. It's higher than me. It's only a little higher than me, but for me, that's the creator. In the next phase, I rise to that degree, to that level where the Creator was in my eyes, So I have come to his place. Now I'm in his place. And then I find another degree, a higher one, and that degree I call the Creator. I imagine to myself the posterior of the upper one every time. The light that shines for me or on me by projecting my own attributes on this light as a higher degree, as the Creator. I imagine the Creator in front of me. Succinctly speaking, it's not that there's a form that I can feel and see. What does that give me? Where does this picture come from? The next picture. The next picture comes from my own corrupted kelim. I build the image of the Creator with respect to my corrupted kelim. Just, you see how the Creator sends opposite vis-a-vis the Sitra'achas, one against the other. Pharaoh vis-a-vis the Creator. So from the worst kelim of mine, out of them I imagine the image of the Creator. And I would never have been able to come into contact with something, with the upper light, the abstract upper light. I have no access to it, no connection to it. And then this imagination helps one build the current degree, the next degree, whom to turn to, where to take the forces from. It's all within a person. But that imagination is what builds the gap between the current state and the next state, meaning between the individual and the Creator. And that's what it says. Out of that comes the knowledge to us. Studying about the upper one, that's the only way for us to study about the upper one. I admit that I still can't bring out I still don't have the words. When you say imagine, you mean that I want to have a different attribute added to him? No. I'm not going to explain anymore. Where am I? Just tell me that. Where am I in the text? 35. Let's continue and see if we can open up a little more. 35. Since these things talk about things that stand at the furnace of the world, and I fear that the reader will be mistaken in perceiving them, it is worth my while to trouble more and bring this the words of the golden words of the Zohar itself in these words and explain them to the best of my ability. You see, Bala Sulam writes that, and this is what it says. It's pure words. If one asks, it is written in the Torah, for you did not see any picture. And if one asks, it is written in the Torah that you did not see any picture, how do we say that he has names and sefirot? It explains it that this picture that I saw, as it says, and he will see the similitude of the Lord. So it explains, right, so it means that Sefirah of Malchut, where all the worlds and then Shemot, the souls, are rooted, meaning that it is the root of all the worlds and the souls, because in the response from it, projected from it, all the parts of fame of the worlds and the souls are built. Since you are the root of all the Kelim, And because they receive from her, meaning they have to have the kelim from her, thus it is deemed a picture for them. Meaning that malchut, which is the root of all these forms, it is considered a picture. It is said about it, and the similitude of the Lord doth he behold. And even this picture, no, I'll just read in Hebrew. He's got the Aramaic too. Even this picture that we call in the Sphira of Malchut, it is not in its own place, but only when the light of Malchut descends and expands over the pictures, the people, creatures. In other words, they are in Olamot Bia. So then, it will be shown on them that to each and every one according to their own imagination and vision, meaning only with respect to the receivers. In other words, everyone will imagine, will see only what happens in his own clear, not at all in the sphere of Malchut with respect to itself, because it's the general roots of the receivers. As it is written, will imagine in the hands of the prophets, meaning everyone imagines according to his own degree. And because of that, the Creator tells them, even though I appear to you in your forms, meaning with a vision and imagination, still, to whom do you imagine me, and I will be like that? This is because first the Creator created the picture in the world, and before he formed a form, the Creator was unique in the world, formless and shapeless. He who attains him before the degree of the creation, which is Bina, where he is outside any picture, it is forbidden to ascribe him there any picture, any form in the world, not in the letter He or in the letter Yud. It is not even call him by the holy name Havaya or by any letter or point. In a way that the receivers do not receive him, before these forms it is forbidden to imagine him. And the text says, for you did not see any picture. Meaning, it is written, for you did not see any picture, refers to those who come to attain him before the degree of Bria, which is Bina. Because the two Sfirot, Keter and Chochmah, which is actually Olam Atzilut, there is no shape and imagination whatsoever. Meaning, which refer to Kelim and borders, because it's all in the Ahab. And the beginning of the Kelim begins from the Sphira of Bina, Zad de Bina, downward. Hence, all that is implied in the Otiyot, the letters, or Nekudot, or the holy names, or the points of the holy names, is only from Bina downward, and also not in the place of the Sphirot themselves, but only with respect to the receivers, as with Sphirat Malchut. So that's what we talked about, that all the Kelim begin from Zad de Bina. Zad de Bina is Kelim from Aleph to Tet, etc. Zanpin is from Yud to Tzadik, and Malchut from Malchut is Kuf Resh Shin Taf. Before Bina we have no Kelim, we have no attainment, we cannot imagine anything. Lamed 36. It seems that there's a contradiction in the words. Before that they said that the shapes extend to the receivers only from the Sphira of Malchut, while here it says that from Bria downward, meaning from Bina downwards, the Tzurot, the forms extend to the receivers, meaning not from Malchut but even from Bina. So where does it come from? How can shapes be extended from Malchut? So he says that the thing is that there is actually no form and picture extends, but only from Bchinat Dalet, which is Malchut. and from it all the kelim extend in the place of the receivers, and nothing from the upper nine sefirot, which are Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, and Tiferet. But in Olam HaTikun, the world of Tikun, correction, where there was the association of Rachamim and Din, meaning that he raised the Sfirah of Malchut, considered Din, and brought her into Sfirat Bina, considered the attribute of Rachamim, mercy. Hence, from then on, the root, the Kelim of Malchut were rooted in Sfirat Bina, as he says here. Thus, the Zohar begins to speak about the true root of the pictures, which are the Kelim, and says that they are from Malchut, and then it says that they are from Bria, in Bria, meaning because of the association that was made for the correction of the Olam from the worlds, which is from the Posah downward. And also our sages said, first the Creator created the world in the attribute of Din, Malchut, and saw that the world could not exist only in Malchut. It's impossible that we'll have the stone in your heart, we'll have the Tikkun, bring us the Tikkun of the Masach. So we associated it with the attribute of bestowal, attribute of Rachamim, sorry. Connected Malchut and Bina, and know that the Esos Fiot Kachabtum have many appellations in the Book of Zohar, meaning according to their many instructions. And when they are called Keter, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, they discern between the Kelim Depanim, called Keter and Atzilut, meaning Keter and Chokhmah, and the Kelim De'achoraim, of the posterior, called Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, meaning Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut. And this discernment came out in them because of the association of the attribute of Din and the attribute of Rachamim. Because the Zohar wants to imply the association of Malchut and Bina, hence the Zohar calls Sfirat Bina by the name Bria. Because prior to that association, there was no shape and form in Bina, even with respect to the receivers, but only in Malchut alone. Well, it's pretty obvious, right? We have all kinds of forms after the association of Malchut and Bina. Whereas Zad de Bina, Zanpe, and Malchut, these three places, three Kelim, are in fact, they in fact consist, they form the picture of our world. Item 37. He continues there, the Zohar, it continues there, and says, after it made that shape of the chariot in Adam Elyon, the upper Adam, he descended and clothed there, and this is called in it in the form of the Dalet, the four Otiot Havaya, meaning the Esos Sfirot Kachabtum, because the tip of the Yud is Keter, the Yud is Chokhmah, the He is Bina, Vav is Tiferet, and the last He is Malchut, so that they will attain him through his attributes, meaning the Sfirot, and in each and every attribute in him. Meaning what? The Creator creates our Kelim in such a way, prepares them, that we will gradually evolve from level to level, from Kli to Kli, so that we will find Him seemingly appearing through these phases. That He appears gradually. It's not that we inside correct ourselves in phases, and thus imagine more and more correctly what the Creator is, but we think that through working, we thus find Him, we bring Him closer, that He changes, not we. 38. Explanation. From Bria onward, meaning from Bia, after it was associated with the attribute of Din, which is Malchut, that the pictures and the shapes of the receivers extend, which are the souls. And not, God forbid, in the place of Malchut itself, but only in the place of the receivers. He says that then the shape of the chariot of the upper Adam is made, and it descends and clothes the shape of this Adam. Meaning that the entire shape of the goof of Adam HaRishon in the 613 kelim that he has extend from the kelim of the soul, neshama, because the neshama has 613 kelim called 248 organs and 365 tendons, spiritual ones, divided into five divisions according to the four otiyot letters, Havaya and the tip of the Yud. The tip of the Yud, its Rosh is Keter. From Pet to Chazay, it's Chokhmah, from Chazay to Tabor, it's Binah, from Tabor to Siyum Oglin, is the two Sfirot, Tiferet and Malchut. From Tabor to Siyum Oglin, it is the two Sfirot, Tiferet and Malchut. And also, the Torah in general is considered Patsuf Adam, meaning the light that comes and clothes these Kelim. And this is the meaning of the 248 mitzvot, the positive mitzvot, in the form of the 248 organs, and the 365 mitzvot, negative mitzvot, opposite the 365 tendons. And it's got five divisions, which are the five books of Moses, and this is called the shape of the chariot of the upper Adam, meaning Adam and Bria, which is Bina, from which these Kelim begin to extend in the place of Neshamot, the souls. And it is called upper Adam because it's got three Bchinot, Adam and Sfirot. Adam de Bria, Adam de Yetzira, Adam de Asiya. So these Kelim in this Potsuf in general is called Adam, right? Don't be confused. However, in Keter and Chokhmah there is no picture whatsoever that can be called by some letter and a point, or in the four Otiyot Havaya, letters Havaya. And since he speaks here of Olam Briya, hence he makes a precision of saying the upper Adam. Meaning, you remember that the words of the Zohar, where there are no pictures in these places of the Sfirot, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut, but only in the place of the receivers and their desires. That's what we imagine, that these shapes are in Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut. It's when Malchut seemingly rose to Zeran, Bina, to Bina. It's incorrect. Malchut doesn't go up. No one can go up or down. We're only talking about the connection that Malchut acquired, the correction that Malchut acquired from Bina. But because these Sfirot dispense these Kelim and Levushim, clothings, dresses, so that the souls will attain them through the light that extends to them in measurement and in a portion, hence, according to the 613 organs, that is why we call the givers Adam, although they are only in the form of the white color, as written in item 8. Meaning, we can see ourselves standing in all the worlds, according to our correction. And this picture, we call it Adam, according to the degree in which we imagine him. Read it, please. Item 39. You will not be surprised, because the four letters Havaya and the tip of the Yud are five Kelim, because the Kelim are always called Otiyot, letters. And they are the meaning of the five Sfirot Kachabtum. Thus it is explained that there are Kelim in Keter Chokhmah 2 that are implied by the tip of the Yud and the Yud of the Havaya. The thing is that when it says pictures and similitudes and the measurements and the attributes which are the Kelim, they begin from Bria downward. Meaning in the three Sfirot, Bina, Tiferet and Malchut only. Not in Keter Chokhmah. Meaning from the perspective of the essence of the Sfirot. Go on. However, it is known that the Sfirot are incorporated in one another. There are 10 Sfirot Kachabtum in Keter, and also Kachabtum in Chokhmah, and Kachabtum in Binah, and in Tiferet, and in Malchut. Accordingly, you find that in each of the five Sefirot Kachabtum, there are three Sefirot, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut, from which the Kelim come. In that you understand that the tip of the Yud, which is the Kelim, the Keter, indicates Bina and Tiferet and Malchut that are incorporated in Keter. And the Yud of Havaya, which is the Kli, the Chochmah, indicates Bina, Tiferet and Malchut incorporated in Chochmah. Thus, Bchinat Keter and Chochmah incorporated even in Bina and Zon have no Kelim. And Bina and Tiferet and Malchut incorporated even in Keter Chochmah, there is also Kelim in them. In this respect, there are indeed five Prinots of Adam, because the Bina and Tiferet and Malchut in all five Sefirot dispense in the form of Merkava, chariot of Adam. Hence, there is Adam from Prinat Keter, from the discernment of Keter, called Adam Kadmon. And there's Adam with respect to Chokhmah, it's called Adam Dasilut. There's Adam from the discernment of Bina, called Adam de Bria. Adam with respect to Tiferet is called Adam de Yetzirah, and Adam with respect to Malchut is called Adam de Asiya. So we can attain only Bina, Zoranpin, and Malchut, where we participate. This is the sod, the secret, and that's the picture. This is why we have five parts of the picture: the tip of the yud k vav k. And when we talk about Yud Kei Vav Kei, we refer only to the Kelim of Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut that we have here clear attainment in. And what we perceive in them is called Adam. Hence, we have five kinds of Adam, five degrees of Adam. Yes. So here, what he says, our limitation that he talks about, when Bina, Zoranpin, and Malchut, even in the highest degree, is perceived as a part of the picture of reality, and Keter and Chokhmah, even in the lowest degree, is hidden from us. Meaning it's not about up and down, it's about does it belong to our kelim, to our perception, or not. According to our nature, we can never be in the kelim of Keter and Chokhmah, because they are above us. What does it mean above us? We learned with you, yes, Keter is called the light that expands, Chokhmah is called the first kli, the will to receive, that comes from the light, yes, when I still have nothing, and Bina is already the first reaction of the creature who wants to resemble the Creator, right? So that's already a reaction of the creature. Hence, from Bina downward, we can attain. And where is the reaction of the creature from? Not in Gal de Bina. In Gal de Bina, we still don't have an action. It's from Zad de Bina, where he wants to bestow in Zoranpin to administer. That's the act. Zad de Bina is the Rosh, and Zoranpin is the Guf. The act of bestowal. Zad de Bina and Zoranpin are the act of bestowal. The Rosh and Guf of the creature. And then we have Malchut that wants this bestowal, yes, to enjoy it. And all the entire correction of Malchut is that this bestowal will be actually conveyed in order to bestow. So this whole picture of the Creator, according to what we see, the attributes of Bina in these Kelim, and the correction of Malchut is only to resemble itself to Bina, with the intention to bestow. That's it. Go on. Item 40. And he called himself by the name Kel Kelokim Shadid, the Lord of Hosts, Eki, all these are names of the Creator, so that he would be recognized in each and every attribute in him. Because the 10 names in the Torah that are not erased are the 10 Sfirot, as it is written in the Zohar. The Sfirah of Keter is called Eki, the Sfirah of Chokhmah. Sfirat Chokhmah is called Ko, I'm reading them to you in Hebrew. Sfirat Bina is called Havaya, punctuated is Elohim. Sfirat Chesed is called Kel, Sfirat Gvor is called Elohim, Sfirat Tiferet is called Havaya. The two Sfirot Netzach are called Tzvaot. Sfirat Yisod is called Kel Chai, the Living God. Sfirat Malchut is called Adni. So, where do we have these names from? If we use the Gematria and the Kelim and the Orot in which they clothe, then according to the Gematria we'll get these names. And where do I want to say? These names help name the attributes that appear in the creature by which the creature names the Creator. Yes, and the name of the Lord will be upon you. What does that mean? Because I attain on me, according to my correction, to my kli, where through the Masach it is filled with a special light, I attain a certain name, and in that name I call the light. You remember we talked about it in the beginning of the lesson, that how do we feel reality? We feel what is in us, we ascribe it. Yes, say I have an eye here. And behind the eye, I have the brain, and some picture happens there in the back of the brain, and I think it is on the outside. So in spirituality, how does it happen? I have a kli. In this kli, this kli is always Yud Kei Vav Kei, Havaya. And through the Masach, through my work, when I talk about corrections on the Yud Kei Vav Kei on my Kli, as a result, I'm impressed in a certain way, which is called opening me, inner light. The Yud Kei Vav Kei that I feel, yes, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that I feel them with a light in it. Rav is writing O next to each word, to each letter in each of them. The Yud is Yud and O, K and O, Vav and O, and the lower He is N O. So that gives me the name. So because I have 10 Sfirot, I have 10 names called the 10 primary names that are not erased. Not erased because they're the roots. That's the root. So what happens? A name is the Kli itself, the Kli, plus the light that is in the Kli. So it's actually the inner state of the Kli. The state of the Kli, right? But in this name, I call the Creator by this name. What is outside me, by the exact same principle that happens to us with our eyes. That's how I relate to the Creator too. According to my corrections, I see that that's Him, not me. Meaning the same picture that, to begin with, was false in us, that what I thought inside, I think of it as happening on the outside, that picture helps me in my correction to reach a situation where I imagine the Creator as being outside me, and that picture is the right picture, if I make a correction of myself through the masach, I neutralize my falsehood, the falsehood that happens in me, and then I really do find the attributes of the abstract upper light that is outside me. It's hard to say something. Baal Salam admits it himself. Well, 41. Had his light not expanded over all the creatures by clothing seemingly in these holy spirit, how would the creatures come to know him? And how would the text, "The whole earth is full of his glory," come true? By that, he explains the godly will to be seen to the souls, as these changes are in him, in the Siyot, which is in order to give room to the souls to sufficient attainment and recognition in him, because then the text, "The whole earth is full of his glory," would come true. 42. However, woe to he who equals him in some measure, meaning one who would say that this attribute is in him himself, even these spiritual attributes that by which he appears to the souls, or the more so in corporal attributes from the human nature, which come from the dust, and they are transitory and worthless. Meaning, as we have said, that even though it is a godly desire that the souls that receive will see that the changes in them are in the giver, yet it has to be clear to the souls that in him there is no, God forbid, any change in any measurement, but he is only a godly will to that they will see it so, as it is written, "And I will imagine in the hands of the prophets. And if they are mistaken in that, woe to them, because in that they are lost immediately from the holy abundance, and will much less with respect to the fools who imagine some incident from the flesh and blood, worthless incidents." Okay. And that's it. That's the end of the preface to the Zohar. Of course, there's huge depth here, but we still can't open it.